ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, purity is half faith. At-tahuru shatrul iman. We hear this over and over again. And this is a prerequisite in all our ibadat. And this is the criteria and the condition for your entry to Jannat. قَدَ فْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah Pak says that the one has purified himself, then he has won, he has achieved. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. So the criteria and the basis for our success is the purity. Then purity comes at about four different levels. And all the levels of purity have to be achieved. One is when we are coming for namaz, then we know that we have to be pure. Our bodies must be pure from ritual impurities and from visible impurities. Visible, we know, but ritual also is something that we need to take care of and we need to purify ourselves against. And the concept of purity in Islam is totally different to the concept of purity in other faiths. In other religions, when you have relieved yourself, right? So you will take 10 liters of water to wash down the filth. In the meanwhile, the filth that is stuck on the back, that is not washed. Just wipe it with the paper or tissue, and that's it. And you consider yourself to be pure. So that little urine that you passed, for that you wasted 10 liters to wash it down. But that filth that is stuck to the bag, that you didn't see the need to wash it down. So our understanding is totally different to the Western concept of purity. Then our understanding of purity is that the residue urine that's in the shaft, that also was removed. So sometimes it's removed immediately, and sometimes with a little bit of walking around, then the residue urine is removed. Now, the person who doesn't have Islam, he is not worried about it. He'll just zip down, and he'll urinate, and then there must be some droplets of urine around his trouser. Right? There'll be something on the back of a trouser, and something on the front. So we are talking of purity at a different level altogether. And these are the Mubarak teachings of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many times, on account of their purity, you're getting into Jannat. Your clothing are pak. Physically, you are clean and pak. Then there is no foul smell coming to you. Like you came to the masjid, you brushed your teeth well, and then you came. Now this attracts the malaika, the angels that pray for your blessings. Then a clean mouth, a clean body attracts them. But if it's the mouth got a foul smell, or the physical self is some type of a foul smell, then the malaika also take exception to this. They don't want to come near. So this is the physical and the outer or the ritual purity that we talk about. Then the place that we're performing namaz, that also must be pure. If your body is clean, your clothes are clean, but the place that you're performing namaz, that is not clean, will your namaz be valid? Namaz can't be valid. So the body must be clean, the clothing must be clean, and the place that you're performing namaz, that must also be clean. Now you can say that you're in a state of purity. And the purity is not just visible purity. Like the non-Muslim, if there is some filth on the mark on the carpet, he may just take a wet wipe and he may rub it and he feel that it's pure. And our understanding of purity is totally different, that the purity must be totally wiped out, complete. So there can't be anything equal to the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala grant us that understanding and the appreciation to appreciate Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Mubarak teaching. Otherwise, mankind was right on the doorstep of destruction. It was Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that saved people. His effort, his mehnat, his teaching, his guidance, the Quran Sharif, and his Mubarak teachings of Hadith, that is the thing that saved us. So this is the one level of purity that Islam emphasizes and impresses upon. Then there is a second level of purity that Islam teaches us and emphasizes, that our hearts must also be clean. The heart being clean means that there mustn't be any element of disbelief in our hearts. That we hear of Allah Ta'ala's words or the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then our hearts are clear. We say, these are words of Allah Ta'ala, these are words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'll embrace them. We'll not ask why did he say this? Why is namaz compulsory? And why is it compulsory 5 times a day? Why this namaz is read softly and why that namaz is read loudly? Why are there so many rakats here? But you're not the boss. Allah Ta'ala, He makes the commands. Some commands, we understand the wisdom, and some commands we don't understand. So that is the private matter of Allah Ta'ala. He knows. Wallahu ya'alamu wa antum la ta'alamu. You also have some things that are private and personal, and some things you don't mind sharing with other people. Some things you hold it in very much confidence, very private, right? And you don't want to leak those things out, you don't want to reveal it, right? If the garden boy that's working there on the garden, he comes around one day and he says, boss, I hear you got a very beautiful wife. I want to see her in a bikini, how she looks. You can admire her, so why can't I? And boss, you know, I think you got a vault there with all your savings, years, all the kuga coins. Can you just show me what it is, where it is, and where the keys are, and how do you operate? What do you do? You're supposed to find him 10 years in time, you find him today, isn't it? This man's mind is filthy. Because look at my daughter. Look at my wife. Where's his brain gone to? So some things you hold personally. It's your personal matter. And you don't want to share with anybody because it's something private, something personal, and something that is just confined to yourself. You don't want to share it with anybody. So exactly the same, some matters Allah keeps to himself, and he didn't disclose the wisdom to everybody. So we need to understand, Wallahu ya'alamu wa antum la ta'alamun. There are things that we do understand and things that are above our understanding. But the fact that we believe in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so whatever he said, you know, that there wasn't a person as honest and as truthful as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the last word that he spoke about, all we believe, we'll embrace and we'll take with both arms. We will have no hesitation and no reservation in our minds about the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the words of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What is Iman? Tasdeeku jami'i ma ja'a bihin Nabiyyu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Iman, this is the essence of Iman. that you believe in everything that Rasulullah has brought to us. Everything, anything. Some things we understand, some things above our understanding. It doesn't have to be within the scope of our understanding for us to believe. Right? There are things that a small child doesn't know. He doesn't know. Right? So you talk to him about marriage, can he relate? Can't. He doesn't have the capacity, the aptitude to understand what it is all about. He'll have to grow up and then he will understand what it is all about. Right? Some things a doctor will understand, but you will not understand. You got a headache here and you want to poke in the back. Hey, Dr. Saab, headache is this side here and you're poking me this side here. How does it relate? You just keep quiet. You just sit down, settle and be calm, and you'll see in a few hours you'll come right. So he understands something, but you don't understand. It doesn't mean that what he's doing and what he's saying is nonsense. You don't have the sense to understand. You don't have the aptitude to understand it. He has got the aptitude to understand. He studied, he understands what it is all about and how it will affect your headache. So you have so much of trust in the doctor. I ask you, isn't it shameful that we don't have that level of trust in the Mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The doctor we trust, don't we trust him? But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do we trust him like how we're supposed to be trusting him? So this is the second level of purity, the purity of your belief. Your belief in Allah Ta'ala. Belief in all the Anbiya alayhi salam. Now this is something unique with Islam. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسلي. We don't discriminate between any Nabi. We believe in all the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salam, all the last one, from Adam alayhi salam right until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Without exception, we believe in all of them. Do not discriminate. The Jews, they rejected Isa alayhi salam. In fact, proudly they said, إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ إِسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Said, yeah, we are the ones that killed and assassinated Isa alayhi salam. So they said it proudly. So they rejected Isa alayhi salam. And the Christians rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And now, we are unique in that respect, that we believe in all the Anbiya alayhi salam, and we believe that they are all true. We believe they were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe they had conveyed and completed the mission that they had come for. Not only conveyed, but completed the mission that they were sent for. So that's something now unique with Islam. We believe in Allah ta'ala, then in all the Rasuls, all the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, but we will follow only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, because his way abrogated all the previous denominations. Whatever came before that, Rasulullah's way came to abrogate everything. All were true in their own time. See, you are a commodity, right? That commodity has got an expiry date. Before the expiry date, you can use it, enjoy it, take the benefit out of it. But after the expiry date, then it can be toxic. Can't it be? Medication. Yeah, it's expired now, and you want to take that. Can't it? You risk your own life. Right? So in its day, it's all right, it's good. But after that, now it's going to be toxic. So in the day of the Nabi, that was the perfect thing, and then it had an expiry date. With the expiry date, it ended up. But the only way that is not going to be expired is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah made him the highest in this world and the next world. Adamu wa man siwahu tahta liwa'i yawm al-qiyamah. All the Anbiya from Adam alayhi salam right until Isa alayhi salam, all will be under the banner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, then I will be the first to appear from the grave. I will be the first, the Bishop says. أَوَّلُ مَنْ تَنْشَقُ عَنْهُ الْأَرْضُ. And I will be the أَوَّلُ شَافِعٍ أَوَّلُ مُشَفَّعٍ. I will intercede in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. I will be the first person. I will be the first person whose intercession will be accepted. So we believe in all, and we believe that Rasulullah is the leader of all the Anbiya alayhi salam. How we come to that conclusion is, when all the Anbiya alayhi salam, on the night of Mi'raj, when they congregated in Baytul Muqaddas, then I ask you, who led the namaz on that day? See? Rasulullah led all the Anbiya, want Rasulullah to lead the namaz, because he is the leader of all the Anbiya alayhi salam. And that was a physical demonstration that Rasulullah was the leader of all, right? All respected. So in our beliefs, we have no flaws, nothing inconsistent. We believe in Allah Ta'ala as we're supposed to be believing in Him, in His names and all His attributes. Billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi. We accept all His names and all His attributes. So we see the manifestation of His attributes, but we don't see Him. The manifestation of His attributes, we see it, don't we see it, right? Now it's so clear, you know, the Quran says, وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. It's abundantly clear, right? And you know, I marvel at this name of Allah, وَالظَّاهِرُ. وَالظَّاهِرُ. That His presence is so vivid, is so graphic. You know? But just that we don't want to see with our eyes. You look at the fruit, right? You'll see a taste, a texture, right? A beauty, a color, right? Then you'll see the pulp, you'll see the juice, and you'll see a protective covering. I ask you, who made this happen? Huh? Who made it happen? There's a peel, there's a protective covering, there's a color, there's juice, there's a pulp, right? And it was so much of energy. The people are coming, or they're going for the marathon. You see that they're being offered oranges or something on the road. So who put that energy into that fruit? Ask yourself. Yeah. Just came of its own. Yeah. So there was a plate of fruit that came here. So, you know, put all the neutrons and all the protons and the proton and came here. Would you say that? Can't say it. Someone must have left it here. So a small thing like a platter of fruit, you don't want to believe that it just came. That this entire universe working with such precision can come of its own. You know, just marvel. Rasulullah was saying that he would get up for tahajjud, and one of the first ayats that he would recite, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. The alternating of the night and the day. Right? The alternating of the night and the day. Right? So one student came to ask me last week that Quran says, يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. I can't understand this. Can you explain this to me? I say, it's simple. You understand, you're seeing it every day. Don't you see with the changing of the seasons, right? Then some part of the night is merging into the day. Again, with the changing of the season, some part of the day is merging into the night. Now, right, see, just now for that, namaz time will change, right? But now presently, Maghrib namaz is around 5:30, right? And Fajr namaz is ending, the Isha namaz time is ending at 5:30. So the night is approximately 12 hours, isn't it? With me? Right. Just now it will change. Just now the Fajr namaz time will go to about 4:30, 4:15, right? Fajr namaz time. And Isha namaz will be at about 8:45. You see that? Now it's 12 hours, then it'll be 7 hours. So there's a marked difference, 5-hour difference. So some part of the night merged into the day, and with the changing of the season, some part of the day merged into the night, right? And now there's so much of wisdom, so much of beauty in this whole planning, administration, the layout of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That you get a fair share of summer, and the people in Europe also get a fair share. The people in Arabia, they get a fair share of the summer, right? If one season right through then, right, then would people enjoy the different seasons? Would they enjoy it? And if there's no different seasons, would they enjoy the variety of fruit? No? See, we're at my Mura's house. I look at the fruit so much laid out, right? The variety of fruit is because of the changing of the season. And the changing of the season is because of the sun movement, right? The sun movement is making all this happen. The alternating of the day and night is because of the movement of the sun. But then, did we see and marvel at the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala just in the sun? Right. So Allah Ta'ala made it, and together with making it, He instructs the sun, you will be moving at a certain speed. Right. at a certain height, right? At a certain slant. Slant, speed, and height, right? Can you see that? And you'll be radiating that amount of heat. So can you see these four things? Heat, height, slant, movement, right? And there the sun move from that root that Allah Pak gave you. Do you ever hear, years have passed, but did you ever hear that the sun move from that path? One path Allah has chalked out for it, and then he is like a slave, is just trailing that same route over and over again. And that sun is not saying, Hazrat, you know, I worked so long, kind of take a break. Let me go and chill down the beach at least. Do you hear that? Something. Do you ever see that? Do you ever hear that his working is operating, generating so much of heat, right? There's all life in the world, right? There's approximately 8 billion people living, right? And all enjoying from the heat of the sun. They're living in the heat of the sun, right? But he's doing so much of work. Did you ever hear that the sun had to go to a workshop for some attention? Do you ever hear? So whose magnificent plan is this? Why? Can you understand? Oh, science will bluff you. As I see, the biggest bluff is science. They will tell you, what they will tell you is, you see, there were some gases in the universe, right? And the gases then, there was a combustion. Collided, there was a combustion. And then that combustion turned into a ball of fire. That's called the sun. So you have 10 questions lined up for them. You will ask, all right, the gases all collided, there was a combustion, turned out into the fire, right, to a sun. So it happened for once, and after that, it never happened after that. So after that, all the gases died. It happened once, and not repeated. No. Even a donkey will laugh at this. That thing will get sick, laughing. Then, ask yourself, who instructed the sun to move at that height? So there's gases all over, but that thing has moved at a certain height. Right? Then ask yourself again, who instructed the sun to generate that level of heat? Who? Right? And then ask yourself again, if the sun just came a little bit closer or a little bit further, the whole earth would have roasted or frozen. So it's perfect. The movement is perfect. The order, the route, everything is perfect. Precision work. So can it ever be possible that this happened there? There's a creator. Khalq is samawati. There must have been a reason why Rasulullah used to recite this when he gets up for tahajjud. To teach us, alright, now you strengthen and refreshen your iman. See, the night is about ending now. Refreshen your iman. Brighten yourself up. Look at the qudrat, admire the power, the might, and the glory of Allah Ta'ala. Okay, how is making it happen? And then look at the precision work, right? So, the sun, the tulu al-fajr now presently, and the sunrise now presently, should be at about 5 plus 7, right? Somewhere. So, now it's in August, aren't we? What date? 12th. 12th, right? So, 12th August today, right? Now, look for 1,000 years in the past, 12th August, around the bluff in Durban, what was the sunrise? You won't find any difference. So, Allah commanded sun, you will just come out at 5 past 7. There you come out 1 minute before. Then you tell the sun, you in Johannesburg, then 15 minutes later. And there the sun ever come out 15 minutes earlier. Can't, it's impossible, it won't do it. Because it's a command. Sunnallahi alladhi atqana kulla shay. It's a workmanship of Allah Ta'ala. Ma tara fi khalqi rahmani min tafawud. You won't find any inconsistency, any flaw in his way. It's so perfect. So, our belief, we keep our beliefs absolutely pure. We don't taint the belief. Right? Like we keep ourselves physically clean, ritual impurities, our clothing are pure, the place that we're performing namaz is pure, and our minds are with the pure belief. We don't dilute the belief. Right? We don't dilute it. We don't modernize it. Right? We don't water it down. Just leave it perfect. So the belief in Allah Ta'ala, belief in all the Rasuls, and the belief that there's a life after death. So we believe in these things here, And we don't want to discuss it with you. We don't want to debate it because we believe. You say that this woman is my mother. So if someone calls you, comes and asks you, what's your proof? Hey, go. I don't want to waste my time. Do you have any doubt about it? You don't have any doubt. You're so sure, you're so accurate. But I ask you for a moment, were you there when you were born? Were you understanding? You see that? Yes, you don't. But you're so certain about it that you don't want to bring this under any discussion. I am absolutely sure this is my father, this is my mother. I got no doubt, no reservation. Doesn't it happen? So then, you are not of understanding at that time, nor did you witness that moment. But you are so certain about it that you don't want to enter into any type of a dialogue with regards to this. So Allah Ta'ala, how can you refute? So the faith in Allah Ta'ala, the Rasools, then the day of Qiyamah. So we don't want to water this down. Because now today, it's a time to water down and to dilute things, to give it a front, what? To give it a front, that's become the order of the day. Right? And nobody wants diluted stuff. You want things pure and original. You don't want it diluted, right? You know, in India, we are studying. So they sell milk in a different way. Here we sell milk in sachets or in bottles, right? This is how we sell it here. But in India, in the small villages, that time now, 50 years ago I'm talking of, right? How they used to sell milk? The milkman will bring it in a bucket, right? And he has a measuring cup. So say, for example, this is 1 liter, right? So he's got markings, 1 liter, half a liter, quarter liter. How much milk you want? Half a liter. All right, give 50 paisa, take your milk. So that's how they should be selling, right? So now, this man, he sold his milk, got his cash, and now he went to have a rest because he did all his rounds. 2 big buckets, and he sold the whole town all the milk, got his cash all stacked up in his wallet properly, and now he must have a rest under a tree. So he left his buckets there, he's got his wallets there, with a bright colors that the wallet was. Now he's fast asleep, one monkey came around. See, animals, they like bright colors. They get attracted to brightness, right? So that thing saw this man is sleeping, he's got a wallet. So somehow stealthily he went and grabbed the wallet and straight he went up into the tree. Now on the tree now, opened the wallet and 1 rupee is dropping into the well, 1 onto the milkman. 1 this side, 1 that side. His eyes only opened when the whole wallet got finished. Now he sees the whole spectacle, then he understands, he says, you know what, I diluted the milk with water. I thought it's 20 liters milk, so it will be diluted another 20 liters of water. So I'll have 40 liters, I'll double the profits, right? I'll double the profits, right? So when he saw the spectacle, he says, dood ka dood, pani ka pani. See that milk, I got the money for the milk. That was water, went into the water. The milk, I got the cash, but that was pure. And this was dilution. So we also don't appreciate any type of dilution, any type of watering, any type of cover. Today's time is a time of diluting and fronting. Give a good front, and then let the man go to hell. Right? So he came to propose for your daughter, right? Very beautiful appearance, right? A professional person, got a suit, or got a kurta with a tasbih and a turban. So the fronting is done very, very well. Right? So you're wearing a tie, a suit, coming for your daughter, like a professional person is coming, right? Talking a professional language. Right? Now, you saw the person, you got impressed with the person, you gave him your daughter. Not even 1 month passed that your daughter discovered that this boy that I married, or you got me married to, he is drugging now. Or he is womanizing. He's got something else. Got a whole list of girls on his phone. How do you feel at that time? That he did the fronting very well, but he deceived me. He cheated on me. Now, he spoiled my daughter's entire life. He cheated her, took her to the marriage, and this is what happened. So now, you feel so betrayed, that this person betrayed you, then how Allah Ta'ala will take it, and you're going to dilute, you're going to mix up, just give a good front, and try to cheat Allah Ta'ala. say, you take it, you are so miserable about it. Can you understand how Allah will take it? So that's why Allah says, I just want something that is absolutely pure. Ma umiru illa liya'budu Allah mukhlisina lahu ad-din. Command is that you bring just purity to it. Absolutely. Your namaz pure, your roza pure, your zikr, your Quran Sharif. Let it be absolutely pure, not diluted, right? Someone came to the South African immigration, right? Came in with a big bundle of dollars, right? $100 bills came, right? Whole thing. Now, big box and so much of dollars he's got. So the immigration, they became suspicious. They were to examine what he's got. They saw all that thing was fake. What will happen? Ask what happened. What will they do? Sabas, mashallah. What will they do? They'll imprison him straight away. That you give a very good fronting. The fronting is very well. But you're cheating his government. Yeah? You have no shame in your eyes. They'll take it personally. Won't they take it personally? So you imagine when you're going to be watering down, only giving a good front and trying to cheat on Allah Ta'ala, making our own explanations to Islam. See, how will Allah Ta'ala take it? So bring it back to the original, undiluted, unwatered down. Original way. Original way, the sunnah, like we saw, you know, in the days past. And there was a segregation. Women are not mixing up with women. I mean, don't you see that? You know, in your grandfather's day, they were not mixing up. Right? Women, they will socialize differently, and men will socialize differently. Right? Doesn't it happen? You won't find, in the old, you won't find photos of live beings hung on the walls. You find that? You don't find it. So the original, undiluted way, bring that back. Because that's the only way that is recognized and accepted by Allah Ta'ala. All other ways that is not consistent with Rasulullah's teaching, that is scrapped. No matter who does it and who speaks about it, but it must be consistent and conformity with the teachings of Rasulullah for that thing to get recognition and acceptance. No matter who says what and how impressive he may be in the YouTube, whatever, but the fact that he is not in consistency with the teachings of Rasulullah, then he is not worth anything. No matter what English he's speaking, no matter how eloquent the person may be, no matter how dynamic the person may be, but you have to ask yourself the first question. Rasulullah was the most perfect and the best of all Anbiya and teachers. So when you brought all these things here, you are trying to say that Rasulullah's way wasn't complete. Now I have to introduce this to complete his way. So I ask you, are you thinking right? He was most perfect, he was most complete, and he was most comprehensive. When he's most comprehensive, just cut the story there, just leave it as Rasulullah. Don't bring any additions. Don't bring any new type of Islam. Just keep it the original, and then you keep it original, even if it's not too much that you have done, Allah Pak will appreciate it that you kept it in the original form, you didn't dilute, you didn't just give a fronting, you were truthful, you were honest. The man got 1 liter of milk, right? And he's honest, I got 1 liter of pure milk. The other one, you got 3 liters, but 2 liters is diluted. How do you feel? Well, give him a kick and throw him off. What do you do? What are you doing? I can do that myself. You need to dilute like in water. You're diluting and you're cheating on me. So how betrayed don't you feel? So the same is going to happen in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Keep it pure. Keep it original. Keep it according to the sunnah. Don't add. As though we're saying, Na'uzu billah, the Nabi Sallam didn't complete it. So we had to bring something, introduce something to make this complete for this modern age. Right? Allah Ta'ala is all perfect. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu as-salamu ala Rasulullah Kareem. وآله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.